Turn to the book of James, please, the fourth chapter. Your Schofield Reference Bible, page 13 up. James chapter 4, we'll be reading verses 5 through 10. The eighth verse is the text verse. And these verses we'll read responsively. May we stand, please, for the reading of God's Word. Do ye think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace. Wherefore, he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted, and mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. And let's pray. Father, you've given us a good day. Thank you for all that has transpired thus far. We just marvel at the way that you continue to work in this place. We pray that thou wouldst do that work now in this preaching hour that thou wouldst desire to do. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have to understand, when I bring this message tonight, that this is one of the few subjects that I feel eminently qualified to speak on. I'm going to speak tonight on the subject of how to be close. It's a little thing I've been wanting to speak on for a long time, didn't know where to use it. Didn't quite seem like a Sunday morning sermon. And it really didn't quite seem like a Sunday night sermon. And it dead sure is not a Wednesday night Bible study. But I've been wanting to speak on it, didn't know where to put it, didn't know where to be appropriate. So I decided to forget about it being appropriate and use it on a Sunday night. It's a subject I feel, one of the few, I feel qualified to speak about. Because I'm alone most of the time. Literally, most of the time, I'm alone. I don't have a buddy I play golf with regularly. I did one time years ago, but we didn't play in the same part of the course. And we never got to see each other. And he was on 18th hole putting when I was trying to find my ball on the first hole. But I really feel tonight that I can help you to a real, honest, increase of your zest and joy in life as I speak on the subject of being close. Preacher, I don't feel close to anybody, somebody said. I can't get close to him, somebody else said. Be careful. You don't know how selfish you are when you say that, and how self-centered you are when you say that, and how wrong you are when you say that. So, if you're expecting a Sunday night sermon, you won't get it tonight. In fact, if you're expecting Wednesday night or Sunday morning, you won't get it. I want to sit across from you in your living room tonight like I was in your house chatting with you. Or maybe like you're in my office, sitting across from me in my office, and I were counseling with you. Trying to help you. You feel lonely. You feel like you're not close to anybody. You have a hard time getting close to people. Nobody's close to you. I want to sit across tonight like a counseling session. And let me just talk to you personally. Something I think can help you. Father, bless, I pray, our little discussion tonight for a great, great growth in grace. And an increase in our joy, contentment, and peace. In Jesus' name, Amen. The wise man said in Proverbs 18:24, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. That's interesting. You're the one that must initiate the friendship. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And I cannot tell you that that friend there is talking about Jesus. I rather think it may be. But I think it probably would go beyond that. I think he's saying there is a friend, a certain kind of a friend, that you can't get rid of. You try to shake him, you can't shake him. You hate him, he'll love you. He'll stick to you like a fly would stick to flypaper. He'll stick to you. You can't get rid of him. There's that kind of friendship. I said the other day in Brother Sullivan's funeral message, I said, when I love, I always love. And whom I love, I always love. That's what it's talking about here. There's a friend you can't get rid of. Try to get rid of him, you can't do it. No way you can get rid of him. He's there, and you can huff and puff, but you won't get rid of it. And then, of course, that wonderful scripture in James 4:8, draw nigh unto God, and he will draw nigh unto thee. I could paraphrase that a little bit. I'm not going to dwell on it, but it could be paraphrased almost like this. You draw nigh unto God, and he will be nigh unto thee. Now follow me as I chat with you for a few minutes, and I really believe I can help you. You see, I'm not with anybody much of the time. If I feel close to people, I've got to feel close to people without being with people a great deal. Preacher, I don't feel close to anybody. I got to thinking a few months ago how mixed up we are on that subject. And I prepared in my little repertoire of messages. I try to keep messages ahead and available in case the Holy Spirit leads me to speak on a subject. I'll have something, at least seed thought. And I wrote down some ideas and thoughts and ideas about this matter of being close. And how mixed up we are on this matter of being close. So I thought I would share with you one of the great secrets of life. Somebody said, I don't feel close to anybody. Now, I wouldn't say that out loud if I were you. You're exposing yourself, isn't it? I want to make just two main statements tonight about being close. And I'm going to say quite a bit about each statement. Statement number one, both objects don't have to move for you to be close to somebody. This pulpit didn't get close to me tonight, but I'm close to it. I got close to this pulpit. And you can get close to it after the service if you want to. You can get as close as you want. You can touch it if you want to. And so I'm saying that both objects don't have to move. Now, folks, listen to me. You're being close to somebody has nothing to do with them. It is totally up to you. And when you say you don't feel close to anybody, you're saying you want somebody to be your friend instead of you want to be somebody's friend. For you can be as close. Look, there are people, two people sitting side by side in this room tonight. You think I'm not talking about any certain people, but two people sit side by side in this room tonight. One person feels close to me. Now, you may never have shaken my hand. I may have never even signed your Bible. It just may be that I've never even gotten to speak to you or you to me. And right beside you is another just like you. Has spent the same amount of time with me, first person did. Knows me to the same degree, first person did. Person number one feels close to me. Person number two does not feel close to me. Now, the fault is in you. You can be as close to me as you choose to be. And I can be as close to you as I choose to be to you. There are people tonight in this room who've never been within 5 feet of me, who feel very close to me. There are people in this room tonight who've never shaken my hand, who feel very close to me. You know why? Because you have drawn nigh unto me. Bible said that I'm supposed to initiate my closeness with God. Didn't say, God, you'll draw nigh to me, I'll draw nigh to you. Oh, no. No, you initiate it. You're the one. Now, if you don't feel close to anybody, it's because you've not chosen to get close to anybody. I am. Somebody said one time to me, I wish I could be as close to someone as you were to John Ryan. Let me elaborate on that. I could not tell you tonight how close John Rice was to me. I don't know. It never one time entered my mind where I was on his list. Never one time. Now stay away. Never one time. I do not know how much John Rice loved me. I did not need to know. I do not know how close he felt to me. I did not need to know. All I knew, I wanted to be close to him. I'm not talking about a geographical closeness. I'm our physical presence closeness. I'm talking about a closeness in here. And I chose to be John Rice's friend. I never one day said, Dr. Rice, let's be friends. That wasn't my desire at all. My desire was to be his friend. My desire was to satisfy any need I might see that he had as we traveled together for 22 years. I do not know how close a friend John Rice was to me, nor do I care. I do know that I was his best friend, and I'll guarantee you I was his best friend. What do you say, Brother Hines? Does that give you any satisfaction? Depends on whether you're selfish or not. If you want somebody to be as close to you as John Rice was to me, and you want them to draw close to you, you don't understand what the Bible means about being close. Closeness is up to you. You can be close to anybody you want to be close to. You just decide whom you want to be close to, and you can be close to them. It is your decision. You see, what you want is you want a friend, but my Bible says that's not the way you get friends. Oh, if I just had somebody who cared, you missed the whole thing. You'll never have anybody that cares with that kind of an attitude. If you'll forget whether anybody cares or not, and you'll say, I want him to have somebody who cares, if he never cares for me, I want him to have somebody who cares. You're about to get close to what it means for being close to God. Oh, you poor people. I just feel so lonely. Well, get close to somebody. Well, nobody cares. Well, you care. It's up to you. This pulpit didn't come over here and get in front of me tonight. I walked up to the pulpit. And old pulpit, you can't keep me from being close to you. I mean, you're stuck with me, Buster. I'm here. And the same thing is true with you again. Look, I do not know, nor do I even think that John Rice was my best friend. Now, he may have been. I don't know. I'm saying, where I was on his list of friends, I haven't got the foggiest idea, nor did I care, nor do I care now. My job was for that old man to have somebody to help him. My job was to give him a closeness that so he'd have somebody. And that's all I wanted. And that if that's what you would want, you'll have some friends. Bible didn't say he that hath people who makes him friends should be friendly to them too. Bible doesn't say if anybody comes to you to be your friend, then you be friendly back. No, you start it. If you have friends, you've got to show yourself friendly. And the Bible's not talking here about saying hi. Friendly, I will term a friendly as somebody says, good morning, how are you? Hello there. Hey, hi, isn't he friendly? No, that's not friendly. Friendly is the adverb. Friendly is the adverb. Look at the proofreader over here. Friendly is the adverb that describes the action of you towards somebody else. And it is the adverb of friend, the noun friend. Now, what is a friend? A friend is dead sure not somebody speaks on says hi on the street. A friend is somebody who would die for you. A friend is somebody who would lay down his life for you. A friend is somebody that if you need a dollar, he's got 100 cents. A friend is somebody who will stick by you through thick and thin. A friend is somebody you can't get rid of. A friend is somebody who in your darkest hour, there for you. A friend is somebody where if somebody fights you, they slug the fella and say, why did I do it? That's what a friend is. I mean, if I walk down the street and see now, I say, well, have one of your friends? No, I'm not one of my friends. I'm talking about the person to whom I'm a friend. If I am a friend to somebody and he's in a fight, I don't walk down the street, hold it, fellas, hold it. Let's see who's right, who's wrong. Let me hear your case, friend. Let me hear your case, enemy. Hear your case. Okay, I've made my decision. I'll fight against you, for you. Not me. No, sir. No, sir. I walk down the street. My friend's in a fight. I pick up a stick and knock the out of the other guy. And I turn to my friend and say, why did I do it? What was it? What was the trouble? That's a friend. A friend is somebody never turns on you. Friend is somebody always sticks. There is a friend that sticketh. That means he sticketh. He's there. You can't get rid of him. Close and brother. He said, oh, I'd like to have somebody like that. You won't ever unless you change your whole attitude. But if you will forget whether you have some like that or not, and you become one like that, God says that's what being friendly is. And the Bible says, he that hath friends must first show himself. Didn't say tell himself friendly. He said show himself friendly. Now, you can feel close to anybody you choose. Same with God. Somebody, oh, God is so far off from me. That's up to you. You get close to him as you want to. Your fault. Your closeness to God depends on you. Oh, God, come and be close to me. You don't have to do it. My God never moves. He never changes. He's the same today, yesterday, today, and forever. He's there. He's faithful. He's always there. You want to get close to him? Get close to him. Suppose a fellow stands over here. Suppose Mr. O'Clair gets up tonight and says, I just don't feel close to that pulpit. Well, Buster, here it is. Come at it. Oh, if we could somehow. I never have been in my life as tired of selfishness. And I've never seen people as selfish as they are now. I mean, Lyles, if I could just have somebody someday that had a relationship with me like Dr. Rice had with you, Brother Hiles, I'd love that. You don't mean that. You don't mean that. Because I never went to Dr. Rice and said, would you be my friend? I never did it. Nor have I ever done it to anybody. And my being your friend does not depend on your being my friend. The truth is, I'm a friend to some people that hate my insides. But I'm a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And you're not going to get rid of me. No way. Oh, I don't want you for friends. Sorry, you're stuck. Stuck. Ah! Huff and puff till you blow your house down. You stuck. Stuck. I mean, it's all settled. Two and two's four. And if I decide to be your friend, I'm your friend. And you can't do anything about it. Nothing. Stuck with me. There is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Now, if my sister, he's talking about a brother or sister. If my sister gets mad at me, it doesn't make a difference. I'm a brother. I'm going to help support her. I do help support her. Probably shouldn't have said that. But I do help support her. Send her a check every month. Well, I mean, I ask her to send $2 or $5 back, but I send her a check every month. Help support her when mother was alive, sent the money to mother. Since mother died, same thing I sent to mother, send to my sister. Every month. Haven't missed a month since 2 months ago, I think. But I don't care. She's going to get the check. Now, she said, I want it. You're going to get it. I don't like it. You're going to get it. I wish I could give you, most of you folks, a transfusion of real friendship and real New Testament Christianity. I wish I could give you a transfusion of unselfishness. I wish I could give you
what real friendship is all about. I'm saying it's the same with God. You draw nigh to God. You see, you're wanting somebody to get close to you. But that's not the way to be close. You decide, see, your happiness, hear me now, if your happiness is determined by somebody getting close to you, you are foolish because you're placing your happiness in the hands of somebody else. And the only way you can be happy is if somebody else decides to get close to you. But if you're happy because you're close to somebody else, you can be happy anytime you choose to be happy. So, I'm saying both objects do not have to move. Now, let me give you an illustration. I doubt if anybody in this world knows how much I, how close I feel to Dr. Lee Robertson. I think he's one of the greatest men I ever met. I think he's one of the patriarchs of this generation. Now, I'm not saying I agree with Dr. Robertson on everything. I'm not saying that. I'm just simply saying as far as greatness is concerned, I think Lee Robertson is truly a great man. Dr. Robertson made some statements when I was a kid preacher. When I was in my 20s, when I was in my late 20s, he was in his middle 40s. And I used to hear him preach when I was a kid preacher. And I got him to sign my Bible and so forth. But he made some statements that affected my ministry. One statement he made, I can remember it like it was made yesterday. Thornton Street Baptist Church in Houston, Texas. He and I were on the same program together. I was one of the preliminary speakers. He was the closing main speaker. He said this, "I'm always looking for ways to inspire Lee Robertson." That stuck with me. That's profundity. "I'm always looking for ways to inspire Lee Robertson." Well, I always thought you're supposed to look for ways to inspire the people. But he said, if I can inspire me, the people will get inspired. If I can get wrapped up in what I'm saying, you'll get wrapped up in what I'm saying. But if my mind is on you listening to me instead of me, if I get inspired and enthused and wrapped up what I'm saying, everybody, Bible says, you know, Bible says, people say, the whole world loves the lover. And the whole world gets excited around an excited person. And I'm saying, he said that. Now, wait a minute. He said other things, too. But because he said those things, he said four or five things that really, really molded my ministry as a young man. Now, I owe him a debt. Now, wait a minute. I hardly ever see him. Twice a year. Through these years. I see him when I speak at I speak Southwide Fellowship. If it's at his church, I've spoken there 26 times, I think it is. And at that meeting, I preached 140 some odd sermons at Highland Park Baptist Church. But I didn't see him. Maybe on the platform. Maybe that's all. Maybe he's on the platform. Just like these guests we have here. Most of the guests we have here, I see them when they walk on the platform. I don't see them beside. I'm busy. They're busy. We haven't got time to go spit and whittle. We have time. They're busy. I'm busy. We got to meet God someday. I don't sit in a restaurant for an hour and a half, eat one of these fellas, and sit there and chew the fat. I chew the Big Mac. But I'm saying, I don't do that. I mean, look, and if I wanted to, Lee Robertson wouldn't do it. He's too busy. We don't do stuff like that. We don't. Now, I hardly ever see him, but I love him. And I'm his friend. And outside his own family, I may be the best friend he has in the world. Now, he doesn't know it. I do not know who would do the most for him in the world if his back were against the wall. I don't know. But I guarantee you this, I feel close to him. You say, does he feel close to you? I don't know. Are you close to him? Yeah. He close to you? I don't know. I guess he's close to me if I'm close to him. I mean, this pulpit didn't move. I got close to it. But I don't know whether he feels it or not. Doesn't matter to me. Doesn't matter to me. I don't have to worry about that. I love him. That settles it. Well, you say, don't you want anybody to be close to you? Yeah, but you don't get them that way. You forget about it. You think about them. Everywhere I go across this nation, I mean this. I have people all of this nation who love me. All over America. I mean from coast to coast and from Canada to Mexico. I have people that love me. I never saw one of them. Not sure who they are. I'm not sure who loves me. I'm not sure that when the firing squad comes, who here would jump in front of the bullet before it got to me. I'm not sure. I don't know. I believe I have folks in this room that die for me. I don't know who they are. I don't need to know who they are, and I don't need to know that they have any. You understand what I'm saying? I'm saying it is time we quit being so all-fired selfish. It is time we quit thinking about ourselves. I think this church needs a transfusion of forgetting self. Forget you exist. I just don't feel close to the preacher. Well, that's your fault. It's your fault. You can be as close to me as you choose to be. It's up to you. Now, look. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but I guarantee you hundreds and probably thousands of hands would go up tonight. If I ask for you to raise your hand, if you've never shaken this hand right here, oh, and you've missed something. But if you've never shaken that hand right there, and I ask you, how many have never shaken my hand, but you feel close to me, hundreds of you would raise your hand. Now, why? That's because you have chosen to feel close to me. But you say, how's I don't feel like you're close to me? Well, I'm here. Now, statement number two. Statement number two. I said, number one, both objects do not need to move for two objects to be close to each other. Only one needs to move. Statement number two. You do not have to be physically in someone's presence to be close to it. Some of the best friends I have, I seldom see. For example, I feel very close to Dr. Bob Gray. I think I told you this. He turned 60 last month. He turned 60. No talking, please. He turned 60. I'll turn 60 in 5 years. From four and a half years ago. But I'll turn 60 September 25th. Now, every decade, when I was 39 and he turned 40 in May, for those 4 months, I rubbed it in. Every time I was with him, I'd say, folks, he's in his 40s, I'm in my 30s. And 10 years later, he became 50. For 4 months, I was in my 40s, and I rubbed it in. This church was having, the night I had it read at a big meeting they had, and 60th birthday party. No talking, young people. No talking. I'm serious. No need for it. I'm glad to have you down at the front, but don't talking. I want you listening. I'm serious. Not mad at you, but you're going to listen to me. You need it. Now listen to me. Dr. Bob Gray's, I sent a telegram. They read it. I've got the tape of it over my office. They read it. Something like this. Dr. Gray. Happy birthday as you reach your 60th birthday. I want you to know that I love you. I want you to know that I always loved you. My mother, when I was a little boy, used to point to you and say, I want you to grow up and be like him someday. And on and on. I sent him another. I'm going to send him one almost every week. Sent him one last Monday, a telegram. Gave him a free membership in the Best Years Club here at First Baptist Church. And in the telegram, I said, with free use of wheelchairs, walking sticks, canes, and liniment. And I said, I'm sorry I can't be with you in the meetings because I'm too young. Now, I don't see Bob Gray. I don't see him that many hours a year. But I'm close to him. You say, does he feel that toward you? Don't know. Never asked him. Don't need to know. But I feel close to him. Our birthdays, we have so much in common. Our backgrounds are out of life. We've both been at the same church for many, many years. Almost the same age. Well, of course, he's another decade older than I am. For 4 months. But almost the same age. I feel close to him. Now, I go to his church to preach. Every January, on Thursday and Friday, I close out his big Bible conference every year. And he's asked me to do it till I die. Now, wait a minute. I go down there. I go to my room. I go to work. Apart from maybe the noon meal on Tuesday, that's about the size of it. Now, I won't spend that many hours a year. I don't have to. But I'm close to it. It's up to me. Now, same thing's true with other men. I feel close to the men on the staff here. But I don't spend much time with them. I'm not in their physical presence very much. But you don't have to be. Look, there is a spiritual presence that is 10 times more close than a physical presence. I feel close to Dr. Steve Bird down in Fayetteville.
I feel close to Dr. Gary Coleman down in Garland. I feel close to people here. I feel close to those four or five men that walk me over here, walk with me Sunday morning and Sunday night. I'm not with those men 5 minutes a week, but I feel like we're close friends. I mean that. I feel close to them. Now, what do you say the house high? Because I choose to feel close to them. Oh, my soul, I wish I could grab you and say, look, why don't you quit thinking about yourself? The world needs you. People need you. And I'll guarantee you, until you get your mind off yourself, until you quit trying to, I wish I had a friend. Well, you never will. You never will. Why? Because he that hath friends must first show himself friendly, and that is not a good morning, how are you? That is a living and dying for somebody. If you get that way, you won't have any friends. You won't. I'll guarantee you this. I do not know if I'm anybody's best friend. I don't have to be. You've heard me say this again and again. I'd just soon everybody here like John Colston more than you love me. You'd be sort of dumb if you did. I don't care if you do. I don't care. I want you to love me. But I don't have to be. I don't have to have you be my best friend. But I'll guarantee you, there are many people in this world to whom I am their best friend. And they don't even know it. They don't have to know it. You say, wait a minute now. There you go. No, I did not say they're my best friend. I am their best friend. Have you ever told them? No, I don't need to tell them. I'll show them someday. I'll show them. And there are people all over this room tonight who can stand up and say he's already shown me. All over this room. I wish you knew what I'm talking about. Like I said this morning, I feel sometimes I just hurt for you to understand what I'm saying, and I sometimes feel like I'm talking in a foreign language. I need an interpreter for somebody to tell you what I'm saying. I'm simply saying it's time that you quit being so all-fired selfish and realize other people need somebody and decide you're going to be one of those. That's the whole story. The whole thing. You say, well, Brother Howes, now, you say I can get close how? Number one, think about them. Think about them. Just think about them. Well, I spent at least an hour this afternoon thinking about people, their problems, their needs, thinking about them. The heartbreak of my life in this church concerning pastoring was the day when the church got so big, we had too many folks who were in the hospital and too many folks who were sick, so I had to give that up. And of course, nobody has a finer man to do it than we have here, Brother John Colston. But that's the heartbreak. That is, as far as the ministry is concerned, that's the heartbreak of my life here in this church. But I'll guarantee you one thing. There's never a person goes to the hospital in this church, what I know about it, but what I feel close to them. You know why? Because I hurt with them. I sit in the motel and pray for them. And I sympathize with them. And I hurt when they hurt. You think about them. Number two, you pray for them. You pray for them. You want to get close to somebody? Pray for them. Number three, you sympathize. Number four, you hurt when they hurt. Number five, you resolve to hurt. You resolve to help them when there's a need that arises. Don't you ever say again, I just can't get close to him. You don't mean that. You mean he won't get close to me, and that's selfishness. You can get close to him. It's up to you. And you'll never have anybody close to you with that kind of attitude. You never will. You never will. It is total selfishness. You're not wanting somebody else to have a friend. You're wanting to have a friend. You're not wanting somebody else to get help. You're wanting to have somebody who will help you. You're not wanting to cheer somebody else. You're wanting to have somebody who will cheer you. And there's nothing quite so disgusting as friend hunters. And there's nobody as friendless as friend hunters. There are people in this room tonight who are friends to others. They're looking for people that have need. Never think about themselves. Now, I guarantee you, those are the people that have the most friends in this church. Look, you think I'd have called these kids down a while ago if I was trying to make friends? No, sir, I'm trying to help these kids. They can hate my inside if they want to, but I'm going to try to help them. And if to get the kids to like me means I've got to let them do what they want to do, they won't like me. But I am willing for them to hate my insides if I can get them to hear what I've got to say. Let me say this very plainly. It's not that I want to make enemies. I want people. I don't want people to be my enemies. I don't like criticism, but I have a higher priority. Higher priority is to try to help you. And many a time I make folks mad. We had a preacher boy in this church. Lazy as a hound dog. He was a pastor. Lazy. Even came late to Sunday school at his own church where he pastored. And I decided to make a man out of him. And one day I got him and I reamed him out. I turned him every way but loose. I said, "You sorry, lazy hound dog, you. You not fit to be behind a pulpit. I'm sorry you're one of my preacher boys. Can't stand to be around you." You say, "Did you just blow your fuse?" No, I didn't blow it. Lit it on purpose. Yeah. Well, say, "Brother Howe, didn't you think you'd offend it?" Yeah, sure did. Yeah. And it succeeded, too. Yeah. 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 To this day, I'm not his favorite preacher, though he's one of my preacher boys. You know what he did? Another preacher told me. He went to another preacher and he said, "I thought Brother Howes was my friend." He said, "I've never been talked to like that in my life." He said, "I'll tell you what I'll do. I'm going to build a big church and I'll show it." That's exactly what I had in mind. He said, "Does it hurt you that he doesn't like you?" "Well, I prefer him to like me. But I got a higher priority. See? Got a higher priority. I'm his friend." "You said, Brother Howes, you destroyed his friendship." "I'm not interested in his friend. I want his friendship, but I don't think about that. I want him to have mine. I want to help him." Most of you folks are about to drown right now. I mean, this is so far from you. I may as well speak in Greek. If I could, I would. But the only thing I speak of is of the hillbilly, and that's all I can speak of. You sit with the house. Now, wait a minute. Are you trying to tell me that I can fellowship with somebody I don't ever see? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I am. Did you ever set a time with your sweetie? And for some of these folks, you'll not remember it. But did you ever set a time with your sweetie when she was your sweetie? Did you ever set a time when maybe you were in Korea somewhere or Vietnam and she was at home out with another fellow? Did you ever set a time when the two of you thought same time? Huh? Sure you did. What'd you do? You fellowship with each other. The best friend I have, I've never seen. And I spent an hour and a half with him this afternoon. I never seen him. Best friend I have. I mean, I spent 40 years talking about him. Never seen him. This is sort of dumb, isn't it? You think about it. I've been 40 years going all over this country and around this world bragging about somebody, and I haven't seen him yet. Know what color eyes he has. Know what color hair he has. I know he's balding, but I don't know what color hair he has. I don't know. I don't know how tall he is. I don't know whether he's 5'10", 10'5". I don't know. What was I doing? No, I don't know. Don't know how much he weighs. I know how much I weigh. I weigh more than I did when I weighed less than I do. I weigh the same thing I weighed for months, but these clothes that they're making these days shrink. You notice that? They shrink. Oh, shut up, Ray, you jogger. Somebody said, do you jog? No, I want to die in bed. I know it's right, that's why I said it. But I've never seen him. I've never seen him. Spent my life preaching about him. Went to college. Chose the college I went to because I thought I could learn how to preach about him better. Man with IQ used to be 141. Don't know what it is now. But I know it's somewhere over 75. Sit on an airplane with degrees and pretty decent logic. Talking to a stranger about somebody I've never seen. Why? I know him. What? Yeah, fellowship with him. Talk to him. Yeah, close to him. Yeah, yeah. How'd you get close? Pulled up. He close to you? Had no choice. I got close to him. Well, you say about it. Wait a minute, preacher. Wait a minute. Hold it a minute. He has a spirit. This Jesus, he has a spirit. So do I. And so do you. Every Monday morning, the last thing I do before I leave is go to the waiting room. Big picture there of John R. Rice. Written in there something like this. To my buddy, Dr. Jack Hiles, my buddy. John Rice, Psalm 126, 5 and 6. I go to that picture every Monday morning. Just a few minutes. Maybe a few seconds sometimes, but go to that picture and look at it. And I say, Dr. John, I love you, and I miss you. Every week. I don't care where I go, how late I am, stop by the waiting room. Always do. I feel close to Brother Olaf. I feel close to my mama. How do you get close? Draw nigh. How do you draw nigh? You think. You think about her. I hope I've helped somebody tonight. I hope somebody understands. I wish somebody would understand what it's all about. I want you to be close to people. Choose anybody you want to be close to and do it. Choose anybody. Yeah. Did you know what you can do? You can be President Reagan's best friend if you want to. A few. Well, he said, "Brother Hiles, I've never seen him. Well, never seen Jesus either." It's up to you. You can be his best friend. Just choose anybody. You can be old Claire, Sippin, Fernandez, anybody. Choose somebody. You can be their best friend. It's up to you. And if you don't feel close to anybody, don't you blame them, you selfish hypocrite. It's your fault. And if you're not close to God, it's not his fault. It's yours. The first draw nigh, it's your move. And as far as friends are concerned, the first friendly is yours. It's up to you. I wish you knew what I mean. I really do. It's a wonderful way to live. You say, "Well, Brother Hiles, I used to be his friend." No, you didn't. No, you didn't. You didn't used to be anybody's friend. If you can talk about friendship in the past tense, then there wasn't a friendship there. A friend sticketh. 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 And give it up. Stuck with him.
I don't want him.
Sorry about that. Stuck.
I don't want to like it.
Sorry about that. Just stuck. Friend, stick it. You didn't. You said, "I used to love him, but don't anymore." No, you never did. Love never faileth. love never faileth. You may have had some kind of a superficial synthetic love, but you didn't used to love anybody. Nobody ever used to love anybody. Did you hear that? Nobody ever used to love anybody. That's a good statement. I wish I thought of that. Nobody ever used to love anybody. And nobody ever used to be a friend to anybody. It's up to you. You want to go to bed tonight and feel close to people? Well, quit thinking about your own. See, here's what you want. I've got a burden. I've got a burden. I wish somebody cared. I doubt if you'll ever have anybody to care. If you'll quit thinking about your own burden, and you just pick out some people that have burdens. But you say, I got one bigger than they have. Well, mine's always bigger than yours. But so it is. They've got one. Think about that. Pray for them. Dwell on it. Your whole problem is thinking about the fellow you shave or the lady whose hair you curl. Draw nigh unto me, says God. Now draw nigh unto you. Next move's yours. First move's yours. And if you want to be close, it's up to you.